It'll start in a sec.
Blog Talk Radio.
Okay, let me grab the headphones. I'll get dialed into the studio. Get these dogs to shut up. Oh, goodness. I better close the window or the neighbors are going to get mad. Hope the guests call in tonight. I wonder if anybody's going to call in. Well, let's do this thing.
It's Rated G Radio, and this is your host, Garrett Miller.
Well, hey, everybody. Welcome to your Friday night dance party. We have a world music party tonight. In just a moment, we're going to bring on Fontaine of Fontaine's Muse, and we have got 2 hours of commercial-free music for you. And this is your Behind the Music edition, and we're going to hear all about Fontaine and her husband Flash and all of the great music they've been producing. I had the great opportunity to meet this couple a few weeks ago at a special summer music festival, actually held at a Whole Foods right here in Huntington Beach, where, we got to listen to Joseph Eid. He's been on the show, and we've been talking about him and played his music lots and lots and lots. And they'll be doing the same thing with Fontaine's Muse. But during the showcase, when Joseph was up on stage, you know, Fontaine and her husband were sitting right behind me, and we got to chit-chatting a little bit, and I was like, oh, my God, you guys are too fascinating not to have on the show. Would you come on? And they were like, you're going to have to really twist our arms. So I was like, and they were like, harder. And finally they said yes. So I got 4 of their CDs and have been playing their music nonstop since last night. I was going to try to get this loaded up earlier in the week. You know how life goes sometimes. It just doesn't happen that way. So after last night's show with Dennis Hensley, I uploaded all of the CDs. And then I was like, oh, I really should have done this a lot sooner, because listening to 4 of their CDs, and all of the CDs have like 15, 16, 17 songs on them, I had to pick 12 to play tonight for you. And that was probably one of the hardest decisions I've had to make in doing this show all year, because the songs are all unique, are all special, and have such a fantastic vibe to them that I wish I had, I don't know, a six-hour show and we could play all their music, which just means we'll have to have Fontaine and Flashback for part 2 at a different date. But welcome to the show, Fontaine. Thanks for being here on Rated G Radio tonight.
Oh, it's my pleasure. Thank you for having me. It's really really fun, and it made me think about stuff. You had all these pre-questions that I had. It made me really think about what I should include. And so, opportunity to get my thoughts together.
Like I always tell everybody, it's just like us, you know, hanging out, except, you know, you're there and I'm here, and we're doing this, you know, kind of separate but equal from afar. So I appreciate the fact that, I haven't shared this with the listeners. I always send out a questionnaire beforehand just to give people an idea of what we're going to talk about, so that way they don't get caught off guard about, tell me about the time during the full moon, that third week of September, and, you know, and you're like, where did that come from? So I always try to give people an idea of what we're going to talk about. And so yesterday afternoon, I get this delightful email back from Fontaine, and she's answered all of the questions. And I'm like, oh, my God, I want to give you an A+ and give you a gold star, because that was so absolutely fantastic. But I said, you didn't have to do that for my behalf. So, number one, thank you for that. That's cute.
Well, by the way, when you asked about full moon and, you know, on the third Sunday, that question you just asked, I was at Tribal Fest. I just wanted to let you know. I was
really
sending through my compilation notebook and, yeah.
So but how was Tribal Fest
person.
For you?
Actually, I wasn't there in person. New music that I wrote was being performed at Tribal Fest, and so my music was being performed at Tribal Fest to a theatrical dance group who were very proud to have music written specifically for them, and they had all these cues and sound effects in it, and that's on my website. It's like a work in process. It was a work in progress. It was a devotion to the goddess Tara, which there's all these different Taras, people who know about these kind of things. There's a green Tara, blue Tara, red Tara. So I had to write a theme for every different color of the Taras. So it was real fun. It was challenging as a composer. So that's what was going on.
Wow.
It was really fun. And
so,
it's up online, and the performance is up online, too, on my website. So
Well, let's get to it now, just so we can plug you like 1,000 times during the course of the show. What's your website?
It's fontainesmuse.org, and if you want, I'll spell it.
Please.
F F like flower, O like orange, N like natural, T like tree, A like apple, I like Indian, N like natural, S like snake, M like mountain, U like universal, and S like snake again, and E like elephant.
There we go. And it's .org. How did you pick a .org versus a .com?
I have a .com.
Oh, you do? Okay.
Yeah, the .com leads to the .org. I just was trying a different I'm also a website creator, and so I was trying different hosting services. And so I got turned on to a specific one. I don't know if I should advertise for them or not without getting paid. But I tried a new one, and so I wanted to have my name as similar, so I left my .com as a front door to my .org.
Oh, that, you know, that's smart.
Because I was trying a new thing. And, you know, I've got a bunch of sites up there, but that's the main one if you want to get in touch with me. I also have a graphic design web development site going up because I'm currently enrolled as a student, and I have some great teachers. And so there's that.
Okay, clip those coupons, everybody. I'm all about that. You know, I tell everybody I do radio at night, but I also do this and this and this and this and this, you know, because you never know. If you don't tell people what you do, Fontaine, they don't know.
Yeah, right.
And then they'll go spend their money somewhere else when they could have had you and your expertise. So I always say promote away.
Well, here's the thing. I was born an artist and can do nothing else. I have an art degree. I went to Ringling School of Art, and I've got a fine arts degree. I'm like a real artist, you know. And I've done nothing but be an artist since, you know, I started my working life. And, of course, I've had some odd jobs on the way, like most artists. Like, I was a sushi chef for a while. And
really?
You know, yeah. And I have such a list of weird odd jobs, you would not believe it. But you know, I've worked at Trader Joe's as a sign artist, you know, because it's an art job. And
sure.
I've just decided, you know, I'm gonna always work as an artist. I decided that. I've starved, you know, but I've also had some very good days too when I was getting shows right and left and getting artwork right and left. You know, worked as an animator, a storyboard artist, you know, all that stuff. So, yeah. So I'm going back to school to learn all of the latest cloud things that Adobe has to offer. And so I have about 4 more months left. I've gotten all A's so far. And so I'll be looking for my day job, graphic design, for some company or firm, and continue to create music. And I love creating music, so...
Oh my gosh. You are awesome. You are so awesome because, you know, when I met you, you know, you just have a certain energy about you. And now that you've said that, you know, I've been an artist, that's all I do, the dots are filling themselves in. I totally get that because that's exactly who you are just from your essence. And you can tell that in your performances. But when we play Fountain of Light, which will be the first song that we're going to play tonight, I think that was the one that you had the... Can I say costume without being offensive? It was the trader,
no,
the
it's a
Whole Foods.
No,
okay, so
it's a costume.
Okay.
I made that costume.
It was off the charts, fantastic. And I was like, because you know the debate at the time was, you know, do you go out to the car to get the costume? And it's like, yes, no, yes, no. And you went out and got it, and we're all sitting there going, okay, what the heck is going on? But you had to do it because if you didn't do that and perform the song, you'd be going like, where's the costume? You know, that's what we would have asked the entire time. But the costume totally made it.
Well, that was only half the costume. The whole costume is up on my website.
Okay.
In the first video that you see, Fountain of Light, that's the whole costume. And it's got wings, and it's incredibly beautiful. You would not believe, you know, that performance of it. It was at the Warner Grand that we did that performance with my brother, the magician. And he did a few tricky light things with the costume and made light shine through it, and it was just beautiful. So I was very fortunate to have a group of creative people around me to help me put that together, because 2 weeks up into the show, I would have been just singing while using a lighted hula hoop for that song, and it just wasn't working. It wasn't working. I can hula hoop, but it just wasn't working, you know, because, you know, you have a microphone and then you have a hula hoop, and then I had to, you know, walk across the stage and do a few things, and it just wasn't working. So the creative team, we all pulled it together, and that's what my friends at the Magic Bazaar helped me put together. I did the headpiece, and then one of the dancers had the wings, and they're specifically made by an artist, you know. So yeah, if you go up there, you can be welcome to my world of Magic Bazaar and music and magic and dance and all that sort of thing. And when we go down to the, you know, gigs, little cafe gigs like the, they call it the Whole Foods Festivals, not really a lot of stage space to put up lights and stuff like that. But so you got like a mini version of, you know, our vision. So it was
I don't know, your stage presence, we'll talk about your vocal ability in just a second, because if you could see me now, I'm just like bowing to you, because your voice is really, your stage presence is just, you have like that it factor, and I don't know how to describe it other than that. When people see you on stage and you just, you know, you can just stand there and you tell a story, and it's a fascinating story. You know, there are people that they'll say, well, so-and-so is such a great actress. If she just sat there and read the phone book, we'd just be captivated. That's kind of how I felt when you first got up on stage and you started to do your performances. Like, she could just stand there, and I could just watch her for, like, 3 hours, and this would be just the most riveting thing of the night. So as we get ready to start, well, you're welcome, but it's true. You just have it. So tell us a little bit about you and your husband and what really makes Fontaine's Muse, because we're 15 minutes into the show and we haven't even played one of your songs yet, so I want to start to get to your music, because everybody's going to be saying, they talked for 2 hours and they didn't play any music, and they kept saying how great it was. So tell us about Fontaine's Muse, and then we're going to play Fountain of Light.
Well, I guess I should talk about how we met. That's when it all really started for us, because I had already been an experienced performer. I had been in like jazz bands and on tour with different bands that, you know, go from hotel to hotel and do floor shows and that sort of thing. I did that in the East Coast from New York to Florida. And, you know, it was like a seasonal thing. In Florida, we'd play, you know, the Florida season. And, you know, there's all these little beach towns all the way up the coast, like I said, up to New York. And so I had already done that. And then I decided, okay, I'm tired of being on the road. I want to do my own thing. So I went back to school. I went to Cogswell after I had a degree at Ringling. I went to Cogswell, and I took a class called Jazz Ensemble. And there we were encouraged to start our own little trios and duos, and I had a vision. And I had a vision that I wanted to do something like the Mahavishnu Orchestra, because I've always liked world music, and I have a background, you know, in my early childhood of that. And so when I went to the school, I met Farhan, who's in four of my classes, and we mostly started to speak to each other during Photoshop class, because he didn't have his homework that day. And the homework was go home and do like a sketch of yourself, look in the mirror and do a sketch of yourself and bring it in. And so he didn't have his homework, and he said, can you draw a picture of me real quick so I can turn it in and not get, you know, fail. So I said, all right. So I'm standing in the hallway in my sketchbook and leaning up against the wall, and I drew his picture. And I noticed that, this guy's cute, you know.
Uh-huh.
And I said, I'm going like, I know he's way too young for me, you know. And it turns out he was older than he was, but, yeah, then he looked. But he's just adorable, adorable man. I mean, he's a beautiful man. He could be a fashion model, you know, at that time especially, and he was interested in that. He's just, you know, lovely. And so we scanned in the picture, and we were supposed to edit it in Photoshop 12 different ways. And as we were talking by the scanner, I told him that I was starting a Cogswell band, something like the Mahavishnu Orchestra, with multicultural instrumentation. And he says, oh, I play the guitar, you know, I'll be a good guitar.
Uh-huh.
I already have a degree, and, you know, he is actually a graduate from Musicians Institute in Hollywood, and he was at that time also. So this, both of us, it was our second time to school. And I said, well, you know, we got the guitar part covered. I already have another jazz, an old jazz cat that's going to do the guitar that understands, you know, my vision. And I said, well, I'll tell you what, do you play an instrument from your culture, which at that time I figured out he was from his parents were from India and Pakistan. And he said, yes, sitar, it is in my blood, you know, like this.
Mm-hmm.
He was so cute. And so it was true because he went to Berkeley overnight, bought a sitar, and he has uncle who is Habib Khan, who is a very well-known artist and teacher in the Indian community. And he gave him a quick lesson, and he showed up for rehearsal, and he could play a few notes, and I said, okay, you're in. So, and he's become an amazing sitarist in, you know, the time that has passed. He's really good. So,
wow.
And very proud of him. Habib gave him the stamp of approval that any promotional materials he can say, student of Habib Khan, you know, and Habib is very,
wow.
You know,
that's
substantial
cool.
Guy. Yeah.
Now, what are the odds, though, that you would have had four classes together? I mean, if the universe wasn't really trying to say, you are going to meet, you know,
yes.
We're going to make sure of it, you know, that was it.
And we're from such different worlds, you know, and music is what brought us together, and music and art, I should say, exactly. So, we went on, and we have been playing music ever since. So I don't want to say how long that is, but we've been playing for quite some time.
For a hot minute. Okay, there we go. Well, without any further ado, folks, we're going to play two songs back-to-back because that's what we do on the Friday Night Dance Party. We do two-peats, so we'll be playing two songs by Fontaine's Muse. The first is going to be called Fountain of Light. The second song is Spiders, and we're going to come back and hear about those songs in just a couple of minutes. So sit back, relax, and enjoy.
Oh,
That's Fontaine's Muse, Spiders. The first song is Fountain of Light. Fontaine, I think I uploaded the instrumental version of that because I after we were chatting mid-song and I went back, I was like, I'm not hearing anything from Fontaine.
Oh, that's okay.
No.
Okay.
I'll have to find that, and it'll give me an excuse to, you know, play the vocal version, you know, 1,000 times after tonight. So there we go. Okay, so you met at college. You had 4 classes that the universe put you together in, and the next thing you know, you are playing music together. How did that I know you got your band going, but how did that work out for you guys?
Well, you know, we had like about 6 or 7 band members, people, you know, I just put a sign out, people who were interested, and I had already, I kind of started the group with another gentleman who was really good at guitar, and in fact, you heard some of his playing on Spiders, the guitar part, that was, that was his Robert Constantine, and he has passed away, so... Yeah, I know.
So I'm glad you were able to capture his magic.
Yeah, oh yeah, and I love him. I miss him. In every CD we have done after his passing, we always put a picture of him on the CD inside the inside cover, and you know, give a little prayer, a few words to him. So for the rest of the CDs, I can pose in the rest of my existence, we'll always have a little thing with him on there because. I want his name. I don't want anybody. He's kind of like a dad to me in a way. And so he's a jazz cat. He was, you know, really good at jazz. He used to hang out at the jazz clubs and, you know, and he played really well. So what was the question?
Well, so you guys started playing music together, and then...
Well, so I formed it with Bob, and then we brought Farhan in, and also known as Flash, and we all just practiced a lot at the school, and we started playing gigs out. We had our CD release, our official CD release party for the first CD, which you don't have. We had that in 2000, and we had that at the Ashkenaz in Berkeley.
Wow.
So, and it was a really, you know, we'd also played at a few other San Francisco places, like the Red Devil Lounge, and we played for the, we played some of the bigger gigs. We played for the Health and Harmony Festival in Sonoma, and it was going really well. We had a natural incline, bigger and bigger shows, more and more people wanted to play with us. So our band kept growing out bigger and bigger. And, we had been playing for the Magic Bazaars. And so basically we were like the orchestra for a magic show, but it was a variety show with fire spinners and dancers and acrobats. And
oh, my gosh.
I even went up in a swing, had to sing a couple songs from my swing up dangling. And I used to joke that my life is a parody of the movie or the play Moulin Rouge because the main character had to go up in a swing and there's all this drama between the people, performers, and a drama with the venue. Because we did. We had a drama with the venue. It was a Gaslighter Theater in Campbell, California. Not far from San Francisco, and there's always like who's going to buy out the Gaslighter this month, and you know it was just on and on, and then there's always
crazy
little
stuff.
Relationships going on, we did a few of those shows, and Farhan and I got married in 1999, and so we'd already done a bunch of those Magic Bazaar shows, and we continued, and we still do some of those Magic Bazaar shows. They're different every time because we have different guest performers and that sort of thing. So it's just grown. We had a knockback after 9/11, right? 2001. We had kind of a lull because there's a lot of we had people with turbans in our band, tabla players. A lot of ethnic music and some Arabic influences. And so I actually had the manager of the Ashkenaz, this is a nightmare thing, he called me back and left a long message, and I had it recording. He recorded it. the recording was, oh, we're not going to go that direction anymore because of, you know, in light of what's been happening and all the security issues and blah, 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 blah. And so I'm like, what? I can't believe what I'm hearing. So we had a lot of people cancel us. And
wow.
And then we pulled it back together because there's a lot of backlash. Well, what is, you know, what is Eastern music and what is Islam and everything that's happened, you know, since then. There's a lot more multiculturalism and a lot more sharing. And that was what we were joined together for in the first place, was multiculturalism, sharing of music styles, the sharing of, working together, figuring out, you know, we had lots of little problems like every other musical ensemble has, and people came and went, you know, and just like any other group of people that get together and try to do something for a common cause. Some people are in, some people are out, you know, no big deal. The main point I'm trying to make is Farhan and I are still here.
You're the solid foundation and the rock behind all of it. So how did you guys decide that you wanted to did you always want to play this style of music, or you're starting out with like a jazz ensemble, and then how did you get to where you're playing the music that you play today?
Well, it evolved. I always have wanted to play music that had a enlightenment and lighter feeling at its core. A feeling to the music that would let people relax, lighten their load. I'm not like trying to preach anybody to go to any specific spirituality or anything in my music. I'm very careful about that. But I'm always, the music that I write is because it's subjects that I'm studying or I'm interested in. Like I'm interested in sacred geometry. I'm interested in architecture. I'm interested in how water reacts to sound. You know, have you ever seen any of those things where they get sound, glass of water? I'm really curious about all of those things, like how sound affects different things. How sound affects, I think they did it with salt experiment, where if you put a certain sound vibration on a plate of salt, it makes little patterns. I'm so fascinated with that sort of thing. And so this reflects in the music that I write. And I've always been fascinated with Eastern music, Eastern philosophy, because of the families that my family knew when I was a child.
Well, let me ask you that. So how did you have exposure to all of these different cultures when you were a kid? Because growing up, you know, in Salem, Oregon, 3 million years ago, I had one friend who was Indian in like the fifth and sixth grade, and then his family moved away. And pretty much we had, you know, the influx of Southeast Asian communities, like I think a lot of the West Coast did, when, you know, there's such the influx of those cultures into West Coast, just trying to escape from, you know, the yuck that was going on in those cultures. But I really didn't feel like we were exposed to anything except like Olivia Newton-John, and that was culture for us.
Well, it started with my grandfather, because my grandfather went to Syracuse University, very smart man. He's a big brain man. He was really, you know, I've got pictures of him shaking hands with presidents. He's that kind of a smart
guy.
He went to school in a multicultural environment at Syracuse University. He noticed that people were not really mingling, so he wanted to put an end to that. He thought that it was just ridiculous. You know, here's the opportunity to meet someone from another culture and to learn something new. So, and he noticed that there was this very thin man sitting there, and the only thing he would eat was French fries or, you know, or potatoes or, you know, and he asked him one day, is there any, can I buy you lunch? You know, because they thought maybe he could only afford this. Well, it turns out the guy was an Indian man, and he was a vegetarian, and he was having trouble finding food that was suitable to his, you know, cuisine that was suitable to his diet. So my grandfather he was married to my grandmother, and they had, you know, while he was in school, he had a wife, and my grandmother is a very good cook. And he says, well, listen, why don't you come over and let my wife cook, tell us what you can or cannot eat. And so they shared dinners together. And before
that's awesome.
So as his life developed, he we were, you know, our families were connected, and he had lots of friends. I grew up, the first wedding I ever went to as a child was an Indian wedding. I never went to, I didn't go to a white wedding until I was an adult, you know, you know, a white wedding, white veil, you know, and that sort of thing. So I grew up, you know, going, tasting the cuisine, and because he really, that particular friend of his, you know, as his life developed, they really grew and blossomed in the United States, and they had, and their family grew, and so I was, that's why I guess I was so comfortable with Farhan, and he was so comfortable with me when we met one another. I knew a lot about his culture, and I knew, you know, I wasn't shocked for anything, or he wasn't, you know, so he, you know, it was just a nice, it was just a natural joining of our music styles and our friendship. And we started out as friends. And also in that family, they had part of their culture was to sit in the living room after dinner and have chai and play their sitar and their ragas, the sarod. And I learned what sort of ragas you play in the morning and the ragas you play in the afternoon, the ragas you play in the evening. And I learned about prayers and kirtan and all of these things. So I learned this as a child. And then, you know, as on my life, you know, they moved, we moved, you know, I kind of drifted from that. But then it was sort of a coming home for me because I went out and went on the road and did all these show band things and played top 40 music and jazz music and 50s music and the whole thing, the whole performance thing with a show group. And then coming back to spiritually inspired music or Indian music was a coming home for me, pretty much. And it was the best part of my childhood, I have to say, learning about these people and learning how they lived and what they did. And I think we need more of that. And because, there, I mean, California is very diverse, but it's not often that, you know, people sort of stay, you know, insular. And they stay kind of,
right,
well, there's an Indian family, let's watch them walk by in their beautiful clothes and don't go talk,
right,
to them, you know. Because, you know, I don't know why. because I always, you know, I always talk to people and try to learn everything I can, you know.
And it's amazing, not only the friendships that you can make, but the information that you get to learn about your next door neighbors or the people that, you know, are down,
yeah,
the street, just like you said, and you're like, wow, I never knew that this could either taste, for me it's always about, ooh, I didn't know this was going to taste so good. You know, I always thought Indian food would be weird, but Indian food's delicious,
right,
you know, and you know, you're,
right,
like, how come nobody told me this before?
Well, there's no comparison from Indian music you get in, Indian food you get in a restaurant and food that's been made by hand at home. There's no comparison. None.
Well, of course.
You don't have,
yeah,
any idea. You know, it's just real, you know, special when you have someone, you know, when you're in someone's home and they prepare for you. You know, it's just so special. So it's a give and take relationship. It's wonderful. And so I've always been interested in learning about other people and sharing what I have, you know. And so It's and I think we need more of that in the world. I think I'm going to start a new project called Paradigm Shift, where the idea is that there's no borders. We're residents of planet Earth. We belong to the Earth, and the Earth belongs to us, and we have to share it, and it doesn't belong to, you know, Nestle or, you know,
right,
whatever,
yeah, exactly,
corporation,
exactly,
to, you know, rape, pillage, and plunder as they see fit and, you know, ruin, you know, the Earth as they see fit, you know. And I'm, you know, I don't want to get preachy, but I mean, you know, there's no reason for human beings to be fighting other than an artificial system imposed upon human beings. Because naturally, if you look at animals, they coexist. They don't care, you know, they have their little, you know, this is my territory, I'm going to mark it with my, you know, feces or whatever. But it's not, you know, they work it out. Some of the animals eat each other, but, you know, we have to be more natural about the way we live together on Earth, you know, where there's the haves and the have-nots, and you know, I could go on all night, but I'm not going to. My music is about this. You know, my music is about this. It's about sharing, caring, taking care of one another, learning about one another, respecting each other's differences. This is what my music is about. It's what it motivates me. In other words, this is my feeling I had, so I went ahead and learned how to be a musician in order to express it. So it's kind of like, you know, a little backwards. You know what I'm saying? Like some people, they learn how to play their musical instruments and they learn how to sing. And then they, you know, it was the other way around for me.
The other way around. Well, I think that's a great segue into our next song. It's called WWW, Whole Wide World. And again, everybody,
oh,
this is Fontaine's Muse. And we'll be back after a couple. So sit back and enjoy the music. We'll be right back.
Thank you.
Light and celebrate. night.
Fontaine's Muse, that song, Mystic Kiss. Fontaine, it sounds like you're singing for a motion picture soundtrack when I listen to that.
Yeah, that's the idea.
Okay, then a goal accomplished, yeah. Let's get you the next James Bond film.
I would love to have my music featured in a movie.
Okay, well, let's make that happen.
like a dream come true for me if I got like just one song in a good movie, that is. Huh?
Well, yeah, exactly. Yeah, so I'll get like Brad or George on the phone and we'll make that happen tonight.
Alrighty, yeah.
Okay,
that,
cool.
You do that.
So,
you
know, anything's within the power if we want to make this happen. I have a question for you, though, and this is from somebody who is trying to figure out how to find his own voice. I'm talking in the third person about me. Somebody who's trying to find his own voice as a singer in this world. How did you train your voice to be so beautiful?
I have no idea. I have five brothers. And they're jazz musicians. I didn't put that in my little resume thing, but yeah, I have five brothers, and three out of the five brothers are jazz musicians. And
wow.
And I used to sing their horn lines when they were practicing their horn lines. Like when you're a trumpet player, you have to do this thing where you go like that, or like that. So I would kind of make fun of them back by singing their horn line things, and they go, "How do you do that?" I go, "Well, I have talent, and you have to work on it." So, you know, it was like this sibling rivalry thing in our household, and so I would sing their horn lines, whatever they were playing, I'd sing it, and just to kind of like, I can sing better than you can.
Okay.
I can do anything. my brother, who now lives in, I think he's in Vietnam. He lives in Vietnam. Has an ensemble there. But him and I are the only two that stuck with music. And so he's I think he's playing clarinet now. But he's the only one that stuck with it. And we're both born in the same month, which is March, so that could have something to do with it.
Yeah,
cosmically.
Like formal training, or how do you get your voice prepared for a show? Probably now it's like old hat, but when you started out,
here,
what were your...
Want to hear what I do? I'm ready.
Okay.
That's it.
You got me. Okay.
That's it. But I mean, you know, if I were coaching a child, you know, a young person or someone that wants to get into it, I would say take care of your health. Don't drink too much alcohol. You know, don't smoke. Please don't smoke. Think nice thoughts. Think of the meaning of the words you want to sing. Don't try to sound like anyone else. Because when you do, you'll hurt your voice. Detune all of your instruments if you're playing the instruments about to 432, which everything is in 440, right? All the tunings in orchestral tuning is usually 440. But I detune everything to 432, and I didn't start doing that until last year. And
really?
If I would have known that, I would have done it sooner.
What does that do for you?
Here's why. It's the harmonic resonance of the planet Earth is to 432 hertz, and it is a much more natural sound to listen to, and it is much more chakra aligning, and that's why I'm working on a chakra CD right now.
Yeah.
I'm composing it completely myself. I'm doing all the tracks in Pro Tools, and then I'm going to put live instruments over that, and they're all in 432. And now all of our instruments are 432. It took us a good 3 weeks to detune everything. You know, all of our grooves and loops and things that we use when we do our live performances. You know, it took us a while to technically redo that, but it really helped. Yeah.
So from somebody who wants to get it but doesn't really get it, how does that change the sound or the resonation of the instrument and or your voice?
It's a more natural human resonance. It's a resonance that, you know, when you see Leonardo da Vinci's man, you know, where his hands are at different positions in a circle.
Right.
It has to do with the proportions of a human being, like your head is so many lengths of your body, your arm span is a certain amount of, you know, length. Well, on a vibration level, there are proportions as well. And 432 is a more natural body vibration. I'm not a metaphysical scientist or anything, but I've been learning this to discover it for myself. And so if you get into it, you might, you know, if you do some reading or whatever, you might learn something I don't know. You know, I'm not completely versed in it, but I just know those basic, simple things. And, well, you know, most spiritual architecture, in other words, churches and mosques, and other holy places like temples, they have a certain proportion. And it's based on the golden mean and a few other things I studied in art and kind of forgot. You know, all of these things have a definite predisposed proportion so that it evokes spirituality or a natural relationship to the earth. And there's a lot of esoteric knowledge and wisdom that many of us do not know because a lot of it's been lost, you know, through the ages. So if you look, you'll find it, though. And I'm, you
wow.
know, I don't want to go, yeah, you'll find, if you look, you'll find stuff that really works better.
I've totally written down the 432 hertz, and I'm going to research that now because now that just fascinates me. But, you know, I just thought that people built churches just because they thought, you know, this style of architecture looks cool, or we need to have this number of arches, or we need to do this. Or I didn't really put it in terms like that until you brought that up.
It's based on proportion. Yeah, oh, it's based in, for example, just look at, I mean, a lot of your listeners probably know this, but Washington, D.C. is a city that's designed with certain proportions and that's where I grew up, Washington, D.C. And
okay.
I know it because I grew up going to the museums and I studied this kind of thing. But if you wanted to know, I have some links on my 432 page. You know, if you go to my website and then you click the audio and scroll down, there's a chakra. There's a chakra page where I have a work in progress up. I have three works. I'm doing seven chakras for my CD, and I have three of those started. And you can see my work in progress. And that's also another thing, because I was a teacher. I taught for 6 years.
Wow.
Because I was a teacher, I like to show people my work in progress because they can learn from it. And so if you go to my website and you go to the audio button and you scroll down and you see chakra music, you can see my rough draft of my chakra CD, how it's going up. And I'm sharing that with people, and people are making comments on that page. And you know, and you can too.
Wow.
So, and you can, and also I have links to other people that are actually specialists in the realm of tuning and 432 and that sort of thing.
Well,
you go there, find something else.
So for everybody who is listening, this is Fontaine of Fontaine's Muse, and if you want to go to their website and check out all of these things that Fontaine is talking about tonight, it's fontainesmuse.org, and then just go, you know, play around on the site because there is a ton of stuff there. And as we get ready to hit the top of the hour, let's play two more. We're going to play Ghost and then Oman next. So everybody, again, sit back, relax, enjoy this fantastic music by Fontaine's Muse. We'll be back in two songs. Enjoy. So that song is Oman by Fontaine's Muse, who's our special musical guest on tonight's Friday Night Dance Party. Thanks for sharing the music and the stories, Fontaine. Are you hanging in there?
Oh, yeah. I'm here.
Cool.
Hey, so, thanks for doing this. It's really nice of you. I really appreciate your enthusiasm and your – it's like nourishment for artists, you know, to have someone excited about their work. Oh, my gosh.
I can't do that unless you've got good music to put out, and this is just so much fun, which – leads me to my next question. You have a lot of work that's instrumental, and then you have a lot of work that has vocals to it. You, as a musician, are wearing multiple hats in the creative process. Can you talk a little bit about what you do during the collaboration with you and your husband?
Well, the last song we just heard was written specifically for the Magic Bazaar, the Shaman song, the Omen Shaman song. It's, if you can imagine, a mysterious stage set with wind blowing and fog machine and a magician, you know, doing all these mystical things with orbs that light up.
And that's what it sounds like.
Yeah, and feathers and, you know, and so that song was written for that production. And, so it was supposed to be very ethereal and, so, and also Robert Constantine, who I mentioned earlier, he came up with that particular groove track. And so that one, I was mostly in charge of the lyrics. And the process for that song was mainly, I was writing that song in my head at the same time playing another song on the stage, because he had told me before the show, he goes, I'm going to need another song for this particular act. So I want you to watch it, because he had something else, you know, real simple, like crashes. And I do like live, I do live cymbals at his show and live bells and other percussion things like ta-da, like that, you know.
Sure,
like something happens. So that was my job. And I even, for our more goofier shows we do for kids, I had like one of those whoop whistles, you know.
And, those are the best.
You know, like Foley effect sort of thing. So the shaman one, I told him, you know, because it's so dark and there's the clouds and the lighting, I'm going to write something that's a little bit gothic, so that's how I came up with that one. What you played earlier, Ghost, that is actually a song with lyrics, but you played the instrumental version, and we did our instrumental version CD because at our many shows that we do, people were going, oh, I like this music, but you have an instrumental, you know, right after we played the song, which is a very humbling experience. After you've sung your lungs out, and someone comes up to your stage and says, oh, do you have any instrumental music?
You know? Great, thanks.
Yeah, I'm like, my throat's not sore from singing for 3 hours. So what we did was we came up, yes, we do. You want that product? Here you go. Here, you have it. And we charge extra. So
I love it.
I mean, you know, so our instrumental CDs are more expensive than our vocal CDs, and for a while, and it was really funny. It's like, yeah, we charge extra, and then, you know, it's terrible, but, you know, and I come to the conclusion, I, as a singer, prefer to listen to instrumental music, so I had to, you know, relate to it from that realm, because I also write instrumental music, so it wasn't an insult, really, because what it means is they enjoyed the music so much they'd like to put their own thoughts to it rather than be directed by a lyricist what to think. And that's wonderful. It's that kind of – I came to that, you know, feeling of it over time. So we put out a couple instrumental music CDs, and it's much, you can get into more of a meditative state in that in the listening experience is much more meditative for the person who has that CD or, you know, recording on. So that's what that process is about. So
now, one of the things that we talked about right before the show started is that you and Flash have a brilliant production put together, and you made him dinner a little while ago. Is it possible he might like to say hello tonight?
Oh, you mean Kareem?
Yeah.
My son?
Yeah.
Kareem, do you want to say hello on the radio?
Hello.
He said no. See, both.
That was an emphatic no too.
Yeah, he's 11 years old. What do you expect? Actually been on the air. He actually, when we performed for the Center Stage Camp at Burning Man, he was on stage with us. He played tambourine, and I have pictures of him. It's really cute. So he was four. He was four. So yeah, he's been Burning Man.
There you
but,
go. What?
I'm waiting. Yeah,
I like it.
I'm
no.
huh?
He's
yeah.
like, no, I don't want to be on there. I love it.
Yeah,
okay.
That's okay. He's actually, when I had my radio show, he was on the air a couple times, and you know, he's at that age, he's forging his own way.
Oh yeah, I'd be, Mom, I can't believe you're embarrassing me like that by even asking me that. We're going to have a talk after you're done.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
I know that you've had your own radio shows and done some things like that. Can you talk a little bit about your past experience doing other artistic forms of entertainment?
I talked about the Magic Bazaar, and that was one thing, being up in the swing and singing with acrobats and dancers and, you know, musical instruments flying in the air. And one of my jobs when I was out on the road was to catch the lead guitarist's guitar, you know, on cue. You know, I've been
on cue, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, and I was in that group, and what we were doing cover tunes, but I did some character impersonations. I did Cyndi Lauper impersonations. I'd come dressed out in a lemon scented, dressed up in a lemon scented garbage bag, and I'd say, you know, I had a baseball bat, and I'd say, okay, we're gonna trash this place. All right, everybody, let's sing. Girls, dance, have fun. You know, so that was one crazy thing that we do. And what else? Oh, I used to do Dr. Ruth. Dr. Ruth. I used to do an impersonation where I'd come out with a, you know, gray haired wig, and I don't even, it's kind of raunchy, so I don't even want to go there on your radio show because
that's fine.
So this one I was still doing clubs, and you know whatever. It was a creative process, even though we were doing cover music, which if your listeners don't know, it's when you do someone else's music. You know, that's already popular. You have to be creative, because why don't they just turn on the radio, you know, and just listen to that song or listen on their headset, right? So you have to do something creative with it, and it was always fun to come up with that. And I was also coming up with lines for our main guy and for him to say. And I did that with Majinga, the magician. You know, I'd come up with stuff for him. I worked for Eastern Onion Singing Telegram Service. That was one of my first.
College. Gosh. Okay, so you have to. You must have had like an experience out of that that you went like, "Holy cow! I can't believe that happened," or "I'd never want to do that again." What can you? Do you have anything that like stands out that you can share?
Yeah. Let me think of a story. Okay. So, what Eastern Onion Singing Telegram Service is, you show up dressed as a character that they've asked you to show up as. And my characters were Wonder Woman, Tap Dancing Cake, Singing Telegram, Shazam. I had a van, and I'd drive around, and I'd get into the van, change into whatever costume, and this would be my weekend in Sarasota, Florida, of all places. You know, it's a beautiful place. Sarasota, Florida, let me tell you, is beautiful. But it was hot.
hot and humid.
But Florida, oh, my gosh. And my mom still lives in Florida, so I can't bash it too much. So I would show up to a restaurant or some guy's party, and I'd have this specific song I had to sing and a few inside jokes they'd want me to perform. You know, the family say, Tulsa Soda wouldn't work, you know, or whatever. What if he takes it up and hits me with it? You know, because you never know what, you know, their response would be. So I came up with my own few little things, like, well, if it's Eastern Onion Singing Telegram Service, I would have to dare the party recipient. I'd dare them to bite the onion. And one time, this guy was so drunk at his party, he did bite that onion. He ate the whole onion.
Oh!
And I'm like, and I just, I couldn't say any more of my lines. I was so floored. And everyone else was just laughing really hard. And so, anyway, so that's my Eastern Onion Singing Telegram service. I had another one. Oh, I won't go there, but it was really sad because the guy, he had to marry this lady, and they were giving him a bachelor party and because she had gotten her pregnant, and he was sad. I had to back out of there.
Wow. You know, that's
so
going to go well when you're, you know, yeah. Ugh.
Yeah, so that was a good story and a bad story, but, yeah, I'll never forget that guy that ate that whole onion. He's probably going to live to be, you know, 400.
It's because of the onion, you know, exactly. Oh, my gosh.
I know.
So, well, let's get back to your music, because believe it or not, we're going to run out of time before we even play all of the music that we've got queued up here tonight, and I still want to hear more stories from you, too. So, from a musical standpoint, I know that, you know, you're here in the Orange County, L.A. area now, and we're up in that bay. Where have you played music? Where do you love to play music? What's been maybe one of your favorite spots?
I love the Burning Man decompression parties in San Francisco.
Okay.
Also, the Lucidic Festival in Santa Barbara. We might be doing that this year with the whole Magic Bazaar cast. We're going to take over somebody's tent and put on a show. The Lucidity Festival is really good. Check it out, lucidityfestival.com. My best show that we did to date would have to be with Planet LA Records, which you know, you met him at Whole Foods. You met.
Got to meet Mark. That was great.
Mark's a great guy. He works with Whole Foods, and Whole Foods hosted the East West Studios Grammy Party in Hollywood, and that was one of the best, you know. I've never played a party where any person that would walk in was a celebrity. I've never had that experience before. I've met celebrities. I've met Prince.
Sure.
I've met B.B. King. I've met Ray Charles. I've met Sheila E., you know, and it's always fun. I've met J.R. Richards of Dishwalla, and we actually played a gig with him. Actually, two gigs. And, I've never been in that celebrity-intensive environment, and it's kind of nerve-wracking, to tell you the truth. But it was so pleasurable and so fun because everyone was very receptive to us. And Oza Motley played also on at that performance. But, yeah, that's a good one. And where I want to play next, please call us. We will play any festival. I love festivals, big festivals, small festivals, because – you know, we have more people, more friends we make, the better. And that's why we do it, to make friends and have fun and spread happiness, you know. So we'll come and play. Or small house parties. We'll come.
Yeah. Well, let's do it. Then let's get to the next song here. This is Fontaine's Muse. This is called All in One Day. After that, it'll be Here, Here, and we're going to hear the stories of both of those in just a second. So everybody, again, sit back. I say sit back and relax. It's now time to get up off of your feet and start dancing. Yeah, so get up and start moving around. So this is All in One Day. Enjoy it. We'll be back.
Long time ago, I used to believe everything goes
And that song was called Here, Here, against Fontaine's Muse. By the way, if you are listening to the broadcast tonight and would like to help support the cause, and I always ask that you do, there are two links, actually three. There's three links on the show page tonight. One is to purchase the album Mystic Kiss on iTunes. You just click that, and I've made it so easy. You just click it, and it takes you right to iTunes, and you just click Purchase and Buy Now. The second is for Spiral Dance, and you can buy that on iTunes as well. You're hearing the music from these albums on the show tonight. And, of course, like Fontaine's Muse on Facebook as well, and you'll be able to stay in touch with all of their upcoming performances and albums and CDs and events and all of the fun stuff. So, Fontaine, tell us about both All in One Day and Here, Here.
All in One Day. That's inspired by my financial ruin, as well as watching other people that I know went through the 2007 financial ruin.
Oh.
Because, you know, we
You wrote
we
it for me, too. Okay.
Yeah, we were working hard, flipping houses, you know, fixing them up by hand and doing all that stuff, and we got caught, you know, in that. But I don't want to really go into that because it's a music program. But I wrote that song because of that, because we decided that, you know, if we're going to lose everything, let's lose everything and start over. And I gave just about everything I had, you know, acquired household stuff away to friends and family and Goodwill, and scaled it all down, and I live much more with a smaller footprint, let's put it that way. You know, I don't have all that stuff, and I'm doing less. My carbon footprint is a lot less. I'm doing more with less, as a matter of fact. I'm spending more time with music rather than trying to, you know, make a living and trying to pay a mortgage. You know, so I'm we're fine. And it turns out I learned a lot by living in an apartment complex with all families. It's lovely because I just step out the door and there's a family with some kids. My son can go right next door and play with the kids, swim in the pool with the kids. Where when we were living as house, garage, car, four bedroom house, the whole thing, it was hard to interact with our neighbors because, you know, they had their whole little lives and their schedule, and the next neighbor had their, you know. And
right.
Here, you have to interact with one another. You know, we go to the watering hole to wash our laundry. In other words, there's a laundry room, you know, and there's a swimming pool, and there, you know. And I found that song came from that whole experience, and I'm grateful for it. And I went through a lot of emotional trauma. Oh, I miss my home and blah, 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 you know. I got over it because I'm doing what I love, and I don't feel any loss, you know. Even though
right.
Some people were looking at the outside, some people would say, "Oh, you lost a lot," you know. No, it's just stuff. You know?
And you can always get more stuff.
Hey, Goodwill is my favorite place to shop. Salvation
there
Army.
You go. There you go.
Plenty
there
of
you
stuff
go.
There. Dollar store.
Here, here.
You know. Here, what's that about?
Speaking of.
That was written, another one for the magic show, because the chorus is, I can't believe what my eyes are seeing, I can't believe what my ears are hearing, I can't believe, I can't, those are things that are like, oh, magic just happened before my eyes,
And Fontaine?
Hmm.
We might have a special guest right this very minute.
Oh, good. Did he call? Great.
I'm thinking we might have Flash joining us by cellular telephone. Welcome to the show,
Yay.
Flash.
I am here, buddy.
Oh, my God. I have so enjoyed playing your music the last hour and a half. Your wife has been telling all kinds of stories about you and meeting in college and the four classes and photoshopping and all kinds of stuff like that. So it's been lots of fun. And I am so pleased to have met both of you the last few weeks.
Oh, cool.
So Flash, as we're wrapping up the last 20 minutes of the show tonight, are there any fun stories about you and your wife that you might like to share that are appropriate for radio?
Oh, I think you probably told me all of it. I don't know what to tell you about it. Yeah, we met in Cogsville. You already talked about that, huh, Fontaine?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, we did.
Yeah, we met in Cogsville College, and I was a student. She was my teacher, and then we got married.
Her version was a little different, Flash. Okay.
No, you were taking a storybook class.
We were both students, and then they asked me, since I'd already been through college once, to teach there. I told them not to because I did not want to be his teacher. I said, do not take my class. You have another choice. Take another teacher. I don't want to be. It was really like that. I was like, do not take my class.
Do not take my class. Oh, my gosh.
She gave me a B.
I did.
Well, that's probably for fair, but, you know, because if anybody came back and audited the files, they're like, oh, yeah, that was an easy A. Okay.
He wasn't doing A work. He was not doing any work. No, I was a good teacher. I love teaching, by the way. I really loved it. But, yeah.
So, Flash, anyway, what are you guys working on for the rest of this year and into 2015? What are some of the things you guys are working on?
Fontaine, did you talk about Chakra album?
I talked a little bit when I was talking about 432. Yeah, we're working on a chakra CD so people can tune their chakras. It's going to be dance. Go ahead,
and then I'm working on one more project. I should be done it after Chakra album. I'm working on the Flash 3 project. You have 1, 2, 3, so I'm working on Flash 3 project, you know, so working on that one. Got the track done. So it should take about 4 months, hopefully done by December, hopefully. So that's
awesome.
What I'm working on right now. Yeah.
And so, as I was telling Fontaine right before the last musical break, we have still got a ton of music that we're not even going to get to tonight for you guys. Can I play two more and then come back and we'll kind of wrap things up?
Yeah, that sounds good to me.
Okay, so the two we're going to play next are going to be Sacred Geometry and Wanna Be a Believer, and we'll be back right after these two. So hang tight, everybody.
Climb the tree of love.
again is Fontaine's Muse. We just heard Sacred Geometry and then Wanna Be a Believer. Flash Fontaine, can you tell us about these songs?
Fontaine?
Should I go first?
Yeah, go ahead, Fontaine. Since you wrote the song.
Sacred Geometry? Was that what
sure. That's okay. Let's start
Sacred
with that
Geometry.
One.
I was mentioning earlier in the program how I'm really fascinated with the way people in ancient culture built temples and spiritual places of worship that were aligned with elements of the earth. And as geometry evolved, how it has to do with proportions of the physical human and the universe and the vibrations that each molecule resonates. And that's science, metaphysical science. So it has to do with that. And I dedicated it to some of the people that are scientists that I have known through the years that also were awakened to this idea about sacred geometry. And it's just a fascination I have. What was that beep? and then the other song, Wannabe, is more of a personal experience of trying to figure out what I want to be when I grow up. So pretty simple. Lots of kids, people go through that, you know.
Well, I think we all do. And then, Flash, since we're just getting to get a little bit of you on the show tonight, can you share about your musical background and where you studied and who some of your maybe mentors were as a musical student?
Yeah, I started playing guitar when I was one of my cousins. He lives around here too in San Francisco. I was playing with him. I was like about eight years old when I started playing guitar, and I would keep playing all the way to I was almost 16 years. And then I just started picking up the sitar, and I'm playing sitar for a long time. So I went to music institution in Hollywood, and I graduated from there in a guitar, but I just stayed with sitar. Because they don't teach sitar in schools like that, so I have to go to a private, there's a name called Habib Khan. I stayed with him for about 2 years. And then I'm more into pop kind of a sound, like pop rock. That's my background, so I stay with that. And according to him, I learned enough that I just start playing. That's what he was saying. Unless you want to learn, classical music, which is a totally different, So
different experience altogether.
So just playing more and more, because the pop music is pretty simple, when it comes to classical.
Well, and I think whatever combination that you've come up with, it really is it's winning. And like I was telling your wife right before the show started tonight, I uploaded your four CDs last night and just had them playing in the background. And it was like, oh, I like that song. I like that song. So coming up with the songs that we're playing tonight were really difficult for me because, if I'm just playing one album by one artist, that's really easy. But I had four of your albums, and so going through and picking out, 12 or 13 songs was really – twisting my arm, to pick favorites among your favorite kids. And number one, just a big hats off to you. And for everybody who's listening, if you haven't gone out on iTunes yet tonight and made the purchases, I'm encouraging you to do that now, both for their album Mystic Kiss and Spiral Dance. Two separate links are on the show page tonight. And, of course, go to the Facebook fan page and like them by clicking the link on the show page tonight. Fontaine, as the show starts to wrap up, we're going to play one song to send us off, shall we say. That's going to be called Spiral Dance. But before we do that, tell us about some of the other things that you are doing as a duo.
We're probably going to play the San Francisco Decompression, but that's not really a duo. But if you're throwing a house party or, we do instrumental music, we also do soundtracks for independent films. If you have
a theatrical performance or dance troupe who needs specific score with sound effects, I do this too. We can incorporate sitar, you know, percussion, all of that, anything you need. I do that for hire. So and I have a little mix studio here at home, and we create loops in our studio as, you know, as needed. So if you have a little production going on and you need some sounds, we got them. And
very cool.
Throw on a party. Yeah, we like to throw a party. I like to tell jokes, you know, and entertain your guests. And believe me, it won't be a dull party if we're there.
And unpaid testimonial, you know, again, from their short time that I got to see them at Whole Foods in Huntington Beach for their summer music series, I was floored away. You know, here comes these two people, and, you know, boom, 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 they get their stuff set up. And then I said, like, let the show begin. And it was just absolutely fantastic. I can't even imagine getting you for, like, 2 or 3 hours at a house party or, a corporate event or something like that. That would be really, truly a unique experience.
We've done corporate parties. We have up in the Bay Area. Yeah, there's lots of Yahoo and all those companies there. Yeah, we've done them.
Okay. Guys, any last closing comments, words of wisdom, sage words to the listeners out here tonight besides go buy your music tonight?
Oh, be happy, be enlightened, love your neighbor, hug your neighbor, hug your family, be grateful to be on planet Earth with the people you love. And if you don't have any that you love, find someone. Find someone who needs something and do some good deed, and you'll feel so much better. If you're sad, you'll feel better if you do something nice for somebody. Seriously. Party?
Excellent. Flash?
Yeah, be peace, man. Find peace within you, and then you will find the peace outside.
There we go. And with that, everybody, here is the closing song for tonight, Fontaine's Muse, and it is Spiral Dance. My computer just went away. Okay, hold on. We're not going away quite yet. I need to pop back into the studio. My studio just clicked onto something else, guys. This is the benefit of live radio. It's really kind of crazy and insane. Okay. There we go. Here we are. Now we really are getting to the last song of the night, Spiral Dance by Fontaine's Muse. Everybody, we will see you live Monday night when we have Dr. Shannon Connor on the line talking about children's health and so much more. Have a great weekend, everybody, and we'll see you live Monday. Thanks, Fontaine. Thanks, Flash.
Thank you. Thank you.
You've been listening to
Rated G Radio.